Well, good evening again as we come to another night of Bible study, and we're thankful you've been able to join us as we come again around the Word of the Lord. But I want to ask you to continue to remember, of course, the circumstances of today. We're praying very much for our land and for our nation at this time. We all know the sad news about our Prime Minister and indeed all that's occurring there, and we're just asking the Lord to bless and to guide those who have rule and authority over us. And we're praying also for those who continue to battle on the front lines, especially our healthcare workers, and do pray for them. Do pray for their families also. Many of their families are anxious and worried and fretful at this time, and so let's be praying for them. But also remember to pray for those families who are affected by this terrible virus, that the Lord will strengthen them, that especially those who still have that opportunity to see a good outcome, that the Lord will allow that to occur. And for those who have lost loved ones and relatives through this, that the Lord will comfort them and strengthen them, even in times of great grief and times of great sadness. And we all know, no doubt, many who are affected by this. It seems as if every day it's getting closer to our own circles. And we just pray that the Lord will protect us all and truly guide us and bring about a great victory in our lives and indeed in our nation for His glory and for His name's sake. But we're coming this evening to consider Nehemiah in the chapter 4. Nehemiah in the chapter 4. We're picking up our reading at the verse 10. As we left off at the verse 9 last evening, and we're going to read it together from the verse 10. It tells us there, "And Judah has said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you." I will pause there and take a reflection upon the verses that we've read together. And you'll remember as we've entered into this fourth chapter that we're coming to deal very specifically with this criticism, with this opposition that is to be faced. And indeed, we mentioned last night that if we are involved in the work of God in any capacity, then we will know what it is to face opposition at some stage, and indeed of some degree. And as we come to consider the Word of God tonight, we have a very specific lesson that's in front of us here and in view in these verses that we read together. And it's because of the source and the location of that criticism, because this is from within. Remember in the opening verses we saw that it was Sanballat, it was Tobiah, those who characterized to us a continual critics, that source from which criticism is to be expected. But here we come in the verses this evening to consider criticism and opposition from within, perhaps from a source that was not expected, an unexpected source of criticism and indeed opposition, but nevertheless one which is most commonly faced even in the work of God and by the workers who are involved in the work of God. But last night as I was reflecting on our Bible study, I was reminded of the words that Paul wrote in the book of 2 Corinthians in the chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in the chapter 4, and there he writes in verse 7, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." And that's something we were remarking upon, of course, on Sunday evening as we considered the goal that the Lord encouraged the church at Laodicea to come to Him and to avail of Him for, that which is truly the treasure which is ours to enjoy in Christ. All the blessings, all the benefits of what it means to be a Christian, they're ours, and God places them in us so that we shine for Him and so that we have them at our disposal even as we continue our journey here below until that day whenever He calls us home, or indeed calls us to be with Himself. He says, it continues and says, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, this is the work of God, and the treasure is of God, and all speaks of the power of God, the majesty of God, that which is available to every individual believer. But here in verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 8, he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." And here he reminds the believers there at Corinth, and indeed every believer of every generation, that there will be opposition to be faced. There will come that time when we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Simply, we can be down, but we're never out. And with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who goes before us, the one who guides us, even as we are promised in his word that he sent the Holy Spirit of God to guide us into all truth, to be that ever-present, constant companion, and Christ is in us, the hope of glory, then we know, yes, opposition, perhaps even persecution, tribulation here on earth, but we will never know what it is to be utterly forsaken, utterly destitute, utterly distressed. We're not in despair, he says. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. It's a good thing to remember that no matter what the circumstances of life may be for us at any given season, that God is in control, and ultimately we triumph in his name. And yes, that applies to life. Yes, it applies to today, but ultimately it speaks very much to the service of God, that which the Christian is employed in his daily activity and seeing fulfilled to the glory and to the honour of God. Yes, opposition will be faced, but yes, victory will be known. It's our right, my right, your right to claim as we come to the Word of God. And let us be reassured then, even as we come to consider our verses tonight. So coming back to Nehemiah in the chapter 4, we see here that the opposition that Nehemiah faces, this moment of opposition arises and is found in the people of Judah. It says, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed." And so it's not the enemy from without. It's not the common foes that have now come together to be friends in order to oppose the work of God. No. It is this discouragement, this opposition is now coming forth and emanating from the very people themselves. Those who were so eagerly and fervently engaged in the work, those who had rose to the challenge, even as Nehemiah shared his burden and said, "This is a good work. We're going to strengthen our hands. We're going to do as the Lord has placed upon your heart. We're going to follow the Lord and trust him to see a great work fulfilled." And then they began to work, and the Bible tells us how that they began to build, and the building was complete. The building was built up to such a level that the gates were hung, and that continued. And that city was knowing that resurrection once again. It was knowing what it was to be made into that place of fortification once again. That place that no doubt would speak as a testimony to all the nations around that God had not forsaken it. And yet here, this people who were engaged in that very work, knew that very blessing, knew that provision of God and that guidance of God to enter into the work, they themselves knew what it was to face discouragement. And now notice where this discouragement comes from. First of all, it's seen in their power. The Bible tells us there that their testimony is the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Remember, they strengthened their hands. They got eagerly and fervently involved. They were working like beavers away to build those walls, to rehang those gates. But now, the bearers of the burdens, their strength is decayed. They've given themselves so much to the work that they've failed to look after themselves. And friends, that is a great possibility in all of our lives. That as we seek to serve the Lord, that we can go at it too hard, we can go at it too fast, and we can go at it for too long, that we ourselves begin to crumble, that we ourselves begin to fail. And as we come to the service of the Lord, we must follow the Lord, but we must do it in his time also. And we must remember that throughout his word, there are continual exhortations and encouragements to us all to come aside, to rest, to wait, and indeed to take that time of personal time for gaining further strength for the journey, and indeed in knowing that renewing of strength that only comes from rest and from refreshment. I often think about Elijah. There he was, knowing that great victory. There he was, knowing, of course, what it was to even outrun the chariot. But even in those times, whenever Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you," he knew great discouragement. And as he came aside and as he found himself by the brook, what happened there? Did the Lord come to him with some great imparting of a word or a great challenge, great exhortation? No. The Lord simply gave him rest, gave him food. He looked after the structure first, and then he looked after the soul. And that is so important for us all to remember, that as we are engaged in the work of the Lord, we must look after the structure. We must protect our minds. We must protect the strength of our bodies. And let me tell you, I preach to myself. So often I know what it is to go hard at things. I'm not saying this for any self-praise or any self-pity, because ultimately the pace that I try to keep in my life is very often a very negative thing for me. It's also something that is, whenever I reflect on it, is rooted in pride. I want to be known as someone who works hard, who goes at it. I want to be known as someone who will work harder and longer than anybody else. But you know, it's been my wife that has so often reminded me that if I don't look after myself, if I don't take that time for my own self and indeed for my family, then I will know what it is not to be fruitful, not to be successful. Yes, to work hard, but not to be productive in any way. It's like that image, is it not, of that the car, and if you press the accelerator, no matter how hard you press it, if you haven't engaged the gear, it's not going to go anywhere. And all it is going to combust in great pitcher and great fury. The transmission isn't engaged, it's not going to go anywhere. And it's just the same for ourselves. If we don't know what it is to labour in the strength of the Lord, and indeed to go in the way at the pace that God would have us to go, then we're not going to succeed. And indeed, I'm not here to be a doctor, nor indeed any sort of physician. But many times we know what it is to be discouraged to the point of depression. And depression can find its root causes very often in the physical failing of strength, and the lack of physical nourishment and rest. And thereby come other further complications that we have to deal with, that we have to go through. But we must look after ourselves. We must ensure that we take that time for ourselves, that we don't continue at a pace that is God never intended, that the body was never built for, that the mind can never sustain. We must know what it is to pace ourselves in the will of the Lord. Their discouragement not only came from their lack of power, but it came from a lack of purpose. They eagerly got involved whenever Nehemiah shared the vision. But you know, after many trips up a ladder, after many times of carrying the stone, after many times, no doubt, of sorting through the piles of rubble and rubbish that were all around, trying to find stones that were suitable, so stones that would be good for that rebuilding work, the Bible tells us that they came to the point where they said, "There is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall." Oh, they had lost their purpose. They were surveying what was before them, and what was before them, yes, there was lots of things to wade through, there was lots of problems to deal with, there was lots of things to overcome, and they were getting discouraged by that which was still yet to be done. Remember, we're already into the work, and many commentators agree that they were at the halfway point in this chapter. The walls are almost half their height. The gates are at the point of being hung already, remember, in chapter 3. So the walls are being continued to build up above it to provide that fortification, that sense of protection for the city. And therefore, they're at the halfway point, but they were looking ahead and simply seeing what still needed to be done, instead of also looking back and rejoicing in what had been done. Because looking back and rejoicing in what God had enabled them to do would have given them that sense of purpose, would have given them that sense of vision, even to keep on going. But there they were surveying the piles of rubbish. There were still so many problems, there were still so many difficulties, there were still so many piles to sort through, and to work through. And it seems so long, so much effort. It's like painting a room, isn't it? You get halfway around the room and you think, why did I ever start this? But then you keep on going and you're able to enjoy the finished product. It's just exactly like that. Many times in the service of God, we find ourselves embarking upon a course of direction that the Lord has led us upon. And yes, there's pitfalls. Yes, there's dangers. Yes, there's trouble to go through. Yes, there's problems to overcome. Many times, of course, there's personalities to work with in order to bring them along. And there you are, you're sorting through it all, and you forget to look behind and see how far you've come. You still look ahead and you get discouraged because there's still so much to do. You see the end goal. Yes, it's there. You think, I'm never going to get there. We're never going to get there. How on earth are we going to overcome all that has still yet to be done? But don't give up. Let us not be weary in well-doing, the Bible exhorts us, because in due season we will reap if we faint not. And therefore, yes, acknowledge the fact that there is much yet to do, but rejoice in the fact that there is much being done. And again, I preach to myself as much as I preach to you. We are to keep focused on that which God has led us to do, and we're to keep rejoicing in what God has enabled us to already see done. Let us not be discouraged by all the trouble that's still to be gone through, all the problems that are still to be overcome, all the pitfalls and challenges that we still have to provide answers to. Let us keep going, and let us reach and strive forward for that prize that God has set before us, because we'll get there if we keep looking to the Lord. And so they'd lost their power, they'd lost their sense of purpose. But the Bible goes on to say they're discouraged also because they didn't feel protected. They felt that there was no protection. tells us there in verse 11, and our adversary said, that's these enemies, these people who are actively there to oppose, they wanted to hinder. And they came, remember, they came as an army, as it were, with all their swords and shields and spears. And they came with one intent, to scare off the people and to hinder and hamper the work of God. And here the testimony of the people is, our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them, and shall slay them and cause the work to cease. They didn't feel protected. They thought the enemy was going to have free course. And very often, if we know what it is to be physically at our weakest point, and because of that, then we have lost our sense of vision, we've lost our sense of purpose, we don't have that drive to keep on going, that's when we're most vulnerable to attack. And that's indeed when we will feel most vulnerable to attack, because the devil will have an entrance, because we're dying, we're discouraged. And time after time, that's the devil's goal. Remember, the word of God tells us that the devil is like a roaring lion and he's seeking whom he may devour. And you and I have this picture in our minds of a lion ripping a person limb from limb. But that is not what the Bible is meaning here. It's simply the understanding that the devil is going about. Yes, he's a fierce foe. He's a frightening foe. And yes, he is a power to be reckoned with. But all he seeks to do to the believer is to simply discourage them to the point that they disappear. Simply discourage them to the point that they're no longer involved in that frontline service, involved in the heat of the battle. They're simply disappeared. And there's examples aplenty in every church across the land where the devil has had that opportunity and seen that victory. Many who ran well, who fought well, who served well. What are they doing today for the Lord? Absolutely nothing. They're discouraged in their faith. They're sat down in the highway of life. And there they are having that pity party all of their days. Why? Because the devil had discouraged them. He's devoured them to the point that they cannot get up. He's drained every source of strength, every sense of purpose from them. And they're unable to keep going. And let me tell you, this is problems to be faced in every fellowship. This is problems to be faced by every believer. We will know what it is to reach that point where we're physically exhausted, where we lose our sense of purpose, and where we're vulnerable to attack. We're unprotected. And there we are, buried under the rubble of discouragement. Buried under the rubble. The Bible goes on to tell us, came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times. Just continual. Time after time after time. The same thing, the same complaint, the same problem. It's just wearing them down. It's just wearing the servant of God down. And there they come, time after time after time. 10 times they said these things. 10 times they brought this report. 10 times there was this sense of discouragement that prevailed in the testimony of the people. Remember, they were a people who had a mind to work just a few verses ago. Now they didn't even have the heart to work. They couldn't even motivate themselves to work. They were buried under the pile of rubble. You know, I know that I'm speaking to some tonight who have known what it is to be discouraged, who have known what it is to face discouragement. There are people who are criticized and often discouraged by others because they're doing too much, because they're involved in everything, or because they make some mistake, as all of us will, and they're absolutely hammered for it. Everybody's quick to criticize, very slow to praise. I know that there's some that I minister to tonight, and that's been your experience. But take heart, for our strength is not in what man says. We're to do like David did at Ziklag. We're to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And this is a work that God has called us to do. And if you're involved in a work for God, then do not allow the criticisms and the discouragement of others to bring you to your knees, to bury you below that pile of criticism, to bury you below that pile of discouragement, to see you devoured by the devil. Rise up and fix your eyes upon Christ. You know, I've heard it too often. There are those who seek to be involved in the work of the Lord, and then you have someone say, why are they doing my job? Why are they doing what I usually do? Let me tell you, I'm not jealous at all about this job. Anybody wants to come and sit where I'm sitting and record these things, you'll be here tomorrow morning, and we'll work through a schedule and we'll get you on the camera and you'll be able to present tomorrow evening, no problem. Because the work of the Lord is for us all, it's not just for one person. And this doesn't belong to me, it belongs to the Lord. And if there's a heart of someone else to share, if there's a heart of someone else to serve, then step forward. This is the Lord's work. And very often people say, why are they doing my job? Why are they sitting in my seat? What are they doing in my kitchen? Isn't that so often the report that's given? The testimony that's known? You know, I began this series and I admitted to you that I was ministering from a broken heart. And the Lord is continuing to minister to me and help me with the difficulties and the challenges that I face. And I'm not here for your sympathy or your pity. But I am telling you that the Lord is encouraging me through his word. Because some of the difficulties and the challenges that I have faced are very much found in the word of God. And the remedy for them is found in the word of God that we've studied together. But I know that this is just not for me. There are many of you who know what it is to be criticized. Who know what it is to face discouragement. This is a ministry for you. Charles Swindle, we've quoted him before. And here, as we come to end our study tonight, I want to quote you something that I have taken great encouragement from. And it's something I trust will be an encouragement to you. And I quote directly from him. He says, as he writes about this whole situation, he says, it is not the critic that counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, who does actually try to do the deed, who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotion, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daringly great. Far better it is to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy or suffer much because they live in the grey twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat. In other words, it's better to fail in trying than never to have tried at all. And I pray that you will continue to stay steadfast in the work of the Lord. I pray that this study will be an encouragement to many to continue at the work that God has called them to do, that God has called us to do together, of building the walls of this church, of building the walls of our own lives, and of seeing a work go forward for God in order that others might come to know him and love him as we do. The Reverend Samuel Chadwick, he said, Lord, make us intensely spiritual, thoroughly natural, and perfectly practical. May God bless his word to your heart.